Let us open the Bible in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Last week we saw 1 to 14. Today we're going to see 15 to 23. It's the end of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. The title, Enlightenment and Wisdom. Enlightenment and wisdom. Verse 15 says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." So last week, from verse 1 to 14, we saw that the Trinity blesses the church. And the idea is not that the Trinity is giving things to the church, but that the Trinity themselves or himself is the blessing of the church. God the Father chooses the church. God the Son buys, purchases, redeems the church. And God the Spirit, he seals the church. So today the Apostle Paul is praying for enlightenment and wisdom. He wants that the church of Ephesus truly understand what the Trinity means to the church. Truly understand what that blessing means to the church. And therefore, the title is Enlightenment and Wisdom. What is enlightenment? It's the same word for revelation. I just chose this word because then I sound more professional. No, I'm joking. It's hard for me to say this word. I just chose enlightenment because I prefer than revelation, because the idea of revelation is very simple. It's a curtain that opens, just like here. If you close the curtain, you are not seeing what is there. But if you open the curtain, now you see. That's the simple meaning of revelation. But sometimes people think about revelation about something that it's uncovered. Oh, I know something new, and then I'm going to speak something new. I'm bringing newness, abound and beyond the word of God. So that's why I chose not to use the word revelation. I choose to use the word enlightenment. And enlightenment, it's again, if you go to the room, everything's dark, you turn the lights on, now you see. That's enlightenment. So it's simply like this. And what is wisdom? Is the application. So, good illustration. I bet you heard about it and it's very funny. What is knowledge? It's to know that tomato is not a vegetable, it's fruit. But what is wisdom? It's not to put the tomato in the fruit salad. It would taste awful. You put the fruit tomato in the vegetable salad, not in the fruit salad. Was that clear? For all the cooks, knowledge and wisdom. Simply like that. That's what the Apostle Paul wants for the church. He's going to show that in four areas. First area, and it's the foundation. Enlightenment and wisdom to know him better, to know Jesus better, and that's found in verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And this is so important that the Apostle Paul starts with this, because he's showing us the goal. The goal that the Trinity blesses the church, it's to know the Trinity better. Is that we have that relationship. The goal is not being rich, being successful, having a so nice life. All my dreams are fulfilled. God kept me safe from all the trouble. That's not the goal. Those things are fine. Those things happen. But the goal is to know him better. God blessed the church to know him better, to have this relationship with the church. And so it is important for us to understand goal. Because nowadays, when I work with the youth, and I work a lot with them, I ask them, what do you want to do with your life? And one day, I want to be a doctor. 1 month later, we're going to have the same conversation. I want to be a lawyer. Next month we go, I want to be a construction guy because all my friends are going to construction and making money quick. So I don't want to go to school and wait to make money. I want money now. So I'm like, okay. Next month, I want to be a pastor. And I'm like, oh, man, what's going on with your life? So it's like this. It's so, I tell you, when I see somebody, youth, young, high school, young adult, that they say, I want to do this, and I'm sure, I'm like, wow, yes, finally. It's like this. And a good illustration, it's this. I also talk to them about responsibilities. So I'm like, do you want to be a homeowner? And all of them, yes, I want to buy my house. And I ask them, how much are you saving to buy a house in the future? I pull up the calculator and I say, a house costs this. How much are you saving? And they're like, you're talking about savings? And I tell them, you don't have a goal. You have a dream. You're stopping the dream. Because when you understand you have a goal, you're going to need to do sacrifice. You're going to need to be intentional. You're going to need to say no today for some things in order to say yes to achieve your goal. The Apostle Paul wants us to understand the goal. What is the goal? To know him better. Let's bring this to spirituality. If the goal is to know him better, my goal is to read the Bible this year. My goal is to read the Bible twice this year. My goal is to serve this year. My goal is to volunteer this year. My goal is to do something in order to know him better. Not a dream, not random, but I have a goal. My goal is to know Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'll take actions in my life. Some actions is to say no to a bunch of things that are not profitable and to say yes to a lot of things that gonna make me know him better, because that's the goal. Another reason the Apostle Paul prays for enlightenment and revelation, it's because of this. Illustration. When you get married, I don't know this, but I know this by theory. When you get married, you have an idea about your spouse. And the spouse is perfect. And everything's going to be okay. And, oh, Disneyland movie. And then you marry. And all the idea is substituted by the reality. Married people, is that true or am I crazy? It's true, right? Yeah. Same way, what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us is this. Ephesians, you have an idea about God. No matter what's your background, if you were raised in church, if you came to Christ later, if you were a Muslim and then you became a Christian, no matter where you come from, you come to God, you come to Christianity with an idea about God. And now it's Jesus' job to replace that idea to the reality. Understand that? So your idea fades away and the truth and reality of the Bible. Then when your idea is gone and reality comes, then you know him better. That's the reason the Apostle Paul is asking for enlightenment and wisdom. There is a goal, and our idea about God must fade to the reality of who God truly is. Application. How can we do that? Reading the Bible. Here it's where we know him better. The Apostle Paul is praying that we know him better. Okay, praying is good, but now let's take action to accomplish that goal. Let us read our Bible. Let us study our Bible. Let's learn who God really is in order that we achieve that goal. First application, read your Bible in order that we know him better. Second point, it's found in verse 18 and 19. What is Paul praying for the church? Let us read verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Second thing the Apostle Paul is praying for the church for enlightenment and wisdom, it's this, to know his plans. To know his plans. The word plan, it's not found in verse 18 and 19 that I just read. But there is a word there that says everything. Calling. Okay? What is calling? Calling is a purpose, is a reason. And according to the context here, the calling, it's what we saw last week. That God chose us, that God purchased us and redeemed us, and that God sealed us. Okay, that's the calling. But I want to understand the idea here. And I'll illustrate to you, and it's going to be very clear. If I am a business owner, I have two ways to do my business. Okay, I need an engineer, I need a cleaner, I need this and that. So I post the job, I tell the job applicants that here's your pay, here's your duties, here's your responsibilities, here is your vacation, all of this. This is a way I do, they do their job, I get my profit, and everything's okay. This is just a job. Or I can do as a calling. Hey, this is your task, and this is the job I'm offering. However, in this place and in this company, you're not performing only a duty. I want this company to know, to be known by the excellence. I know that all the customers and clients, when they do business with us, they don't need to go to the internet and ask for reviews. The job itself is the reveal. Also, I know that job applicants gonna know that in this place, I, the boss, I care for you. That this is a good environment, that this is safe, that this environment is a you first. Therefore, I am giving the job, but I'm not too much worried about the job. Are you in the same page? Are you going to do the same? Is that the same idea you have? Is that the same vision you have? Are you owning this place or not? This is a calling. You see the difference? If you have a job, you may never have a call. Pastor, I may always come and say, come as a pastor, but I may never truly understand the call of Jesus Christ. But if I understand the call, I'll perform the job. That's the idea here. The Apostle Paul wants us to understand the plan, God blessed you so much. Why? Understand the calling. God blessed you so much. Why? Make use of it. And he's going to mention two things there. First, the background, it's what we saw last week. And now he mentions another two words, hope and glorious inheritance. The calling to understand the plan, and plans always talk about the future. Therefore, he uses the word hope, because the word hope talks about the future. What is the church's hope? The resurrection, the new heavens, the new earth. And this is so important. And I love that Paul says, I pray that you have enlightenment. Not that you know about it, but I pray that you understand it and apply it and are wise, because we can do the Christian life. We can be good Christians. We can be examples. We can be awesome, and yet never think about the future, never think about the resurrection, never think that our true reward is in heaven. Sometimes we love God's blessing so much that we forget that the real blessing is in heaven. Why do I serve? Because there is a real blessing in heaven. Why do I sacrifice? Because there is a real blessing in heaven. And if we understand the hope for which we were called, sometimes we're going to say, God, this life, it's, you're blessing me so much, but you know what? I'm leaving this blessing apart. I want some trouble. I want some work. I want to go the extra mile. I want some challenge. Gustavo, why? Because I understand the hope I was called. Because I understand that the blessings here are okay, but the real blessing, it's in heaven. Our reward, our treasure is in heaven. If we understand that, we're going to make some choices here that are going to enhance that. And if we lose that hope, we're going to avoid some choices that would enhance that beautiful and amazing reward. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says, know the plan, and the plan is this. I'm talking about a hope. He's also talking about glorious inheritance. Last week I told you that you are the cherry of the cake, that Jesus died not only for us, but for everything. However, we are the cherry of the cake. We are the first fruits. We are his inheritance. And here the Apostle Paul wants our eyes to be open that if we are the inheritance of Jesus, guess what? Jesus is our inheritance. And he wants us to understand this. Blessings are good. Hope and rewards are amazing. But above all, God, it's even better. Knowing him and having him and doing Christianity because I'm knowing him, and during servicing because I'm knowing him, and rejoicing of blessings because I am knowing him, that's the true glorious inheritance. If I am Jesus' inheritance, I must understand by enlightenment and wisdom that Jesus is my ultimate inheritance. So in the second point, Paul wants us to understand the plan. My application for you is this. I laid the plan, some of the plan to you, but really personally, my application to you is this. Live a life with purpose. Live a life that you have a legacy. Try to impart to the next generation. Personally, I always like to walk with people who are younger than me. Why? Because I am talking to them and I'm saying, this is how you should do. This is the advice I give you. If I were you, I would take this route. I really want that once I'm gone, if I change job, if I change place, if my life has another circumstances, I left something in that person. Live a life with a purpose, because it's not about doing a duty. It's not about being a Christian itself. It's about living this legacy and fulfilling this calling that Jesus called us and that Paul wants us to understand. Are we fine up to here? Third point. What is the Apostle Paul also praying? Enlightenment and wisdom to know his power, the power of God. Verse 19. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. I don't know about you. I'm going to tell about me. And this is the idea the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us. I always thought that God is all powerful. I never think of God doing this. Oh, it's I'm going to show my power. And then he arm wrestle or he does something. I always thought like I'm going to create the world and God does like this and everything shows up. I'm going to heal somebody. Healed. I'm going to raise people from the dead. Raised. Because in my mind, he's so powerful. He's so powerful that nothing, it's too hard for him. Therefore, it's just like a snap. Easy, easy, easy. But the idea the Apostle Paul is saying here, in order that we, our eyes are open to the power of God, and he mentions, and he describes it, and he specifically says resurrection. The idea the Apostle Paul is giving us here is that there are levels, although it's endless, there are levels in the power of God. He uses some power to heal people. Now he uses more power to raise people from the dead, which he did with Lazarus. But now he's going to use even more power to raise Christ from the dead. Because Christ's resurrection, it's once for all. It's forever. Lazarus was raised and died again. Christ was raised and dies no more. Apparently, and that's what Paul is trying to describe to us, there are levels of power in God. And that God, it's not like a snap. He really is doing and using his power. And Paul wants us and he urges us to know this power. He's not talking about theory. Because I just told you, in my mind, God's power is like a snap. In Paul's mind, God's power, it's a real power. He puts his hand on and he does the thing. He's not talking about the idea. Idea, I have one and Paul has another. He's talking about experience. He's talking about you know it. He's talking about this. The power that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, which was so much power, is the same power that it's at work at in the church. The same. Therefore, it's powerful. And Paul wants us to experience it. Therefore, what is he saying? From dead to life. I was a sinner. I used to rob. I used to lie. Death. Where is the resurrection power here? Now, I am no more a robber. Now, I am no more a liar. Now, I speak the truth. Now, I work with my hand. Now, I became generous. From death to life. Our relationships, whatever used to go, death. I was toxic, I was division, I was problem. Life. Now I'm not toxic, I'm a blessing. Now there is no more division where I go, it's a blessing. Now the environment, it's light wherever I go. From dead to life. Our circumstances. My circumstances were dead, and I never pray about it. My circumstances were dead, and I never thought God would hear my prayer. My circumstances were dead, and I even never thought of God. Resurrection power. Now it is alive. My circumstances are dead. I am praying to God that things are changing. I want to see His power. I know He hears my prayer. I know He'll answer me. Paul wants us to experience this power. The resurrection that Jesus experienced, now is the power of resurrection that He wants to the church to experience. And He's clear, it is at work. It is at work. It wasn't, it will, it is at work. The power of the resurrection, this power that it's not only available, but must be used, must be engaged, must be experienced by the church. It's at work. And that's my application. One, let's experience this power. Let us be testimony about this power. Let's urge for this power. And secondly, to understand, it's not a thing of the past. It's not a thing of the future. It is present at work in the church. That's what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. To know not with the mind, to know by the experience how much power we have. Tied with that is the next point and final point. Enlightenment and wisdom to know His authority. Before we read, I'll tell you this about power and authority. Some people, they have power, but they have no authority. Some people have authority, but they have no power. Some people have power and authority, but it's illegal. They made their way through the power. They did something. I'm not saying Joe Biden did this or Trump didn't do. No, no, no. But just as a good example, the election was stolen. I'm not saying that happened, but this is an example. Now someone has power, but it was illegitimate. So some people has power, but no authority. Some people has power and authority, but it's illegit. Some people has legitimacy. They are elected, they have authority, but they have no power. What they say, nobody obeys and nobody buys it. Is that clear? Power and authority, they are not the same, but they walk together. Legitimacy and authority, they are not the same, but they should walk together. What is the Bible teaching and what's Apostle Paul trying to teach us? Know the power that it's at work in you. Now you know the authority that is in you. Otherwise, you are too powerful and never uses it. Otherwise, you know you have authority, but you never know you have the power and you never uses it. Paul, and all it's legit because Christ bought on the cross. Okay? So legitimacy, it's taken care. Now we need to understand the power and the authority. Verse 22 and verse 23. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Let us understand the idea before understanding authority. The idea here is that Christ uses His authority for the church, not for Himself. The idea we have about authority, generally speaking, is that I am the boss and you obey. I call the shots. It's going to be my way. I do authority the way I want and for myself. That's not the authority that the Bible is talking about. Christ was placed in the highest for the church. That's the idea here. And a good illustration, I was working with my coworker, and we were doing a boring job, very boring. And so, as a Brazilian, we are always joking. And I'm like, no, we need to be promoted. We need to be promoted right now. I can't do this job anymore. And I said, you know what? We're going to be the boss soon. And he looked at me. I don't know why he take it serious. I was just joking. But he looked at me. We're not going to be boss. We're going to be leaders, my friend. And I was like, beautiful, beautiful. But that's the idea. The idea is not to be boss. The idea is to be leader. That's the authority. It's to serve. If God gives me authority and power, trust me, He wants that to be ushered. Why am I in a good position at work to make good decisions? For myself? No, for the employees, for the customers, for the clients, for the company. Not for myself. Why am I in a good position? Why am I a leader of my house? To make good decisions and to use my power for the benefit of my spouse and kids and the next generation. Why do you have so much authority and power? Not for yourself. It's for service. That's what the Bible is trying to teach us. And they want to teach us these three things. First, authority is to serve. Christ is in a position to authority for serving the church. First thing. Secondly, He's calling us to serve. Remember, there is a calling. Remember, there is a hope. Remember, there is a glorious inheritance. He wants us to serve with Him. But it's impossible for us to serve efficiently if we don't understand the power that's at work in us and if we don't understand the authority we are at. Then we need to understand because He's calling us to serve. And the third thing He's trying to teach us is the very last sentence. The fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Pay attention to these words. Filling everything in every way. You can understand this literally. You can understand this spiritually. You can understand this allegorically. But let me tell you what, according to the context, what He's teaching us here. He's saying that Christ is saturating the church with this. Christ is changing the culture of the church better, creating and establishing the church, the culture of the church. Illustration. Remember the calling and the job? You can call somebody for a job and not give a calling, but you can give a calling to a person. Here it is. Christ tells me, Gustavo, His servant, Gustavo, I am in authority. I am, Christ, a blessing to bless. And I say, I understand that. Next week, I have another meeting with Christ. Gustavo, I am a blessing. And then He stops speaking. I, Gustavo, needs to finish his sentence to be blessing. And He's saying, yes, you're getting it. You're getting my heart. You're getting my mentality. Now you're able to finish my sentences. Therefore, I assume and understand that you are being filled with my mindset. Therefore, I am assuming you understand where I am going to. Therefore, I assume you understand what I do with my authority. If you are able to finish my sentences, now I know you are able also to use authority the way I do. And with the reason I would. Another meeting with Christ, He shows me how to solve conflicts. Conflict spurs. You do this first. you avoid this mistake. You resolve it right away because it's a big one. No, this one takes some time. You still need some more information. And he shows me how to resolve the conflict. Next week, I'm doing and resolving the conflict the way he showed me. Because he is filling me and saturating me with the way he does use his authority. He's saturating the church with the way he uses his authority. Why does he do that? In order that the church, it's not governed by my ideology. In order that the church, it's not governed by the trending. In order that the church is not governed by the way they do things in Canada, the way they do things in Saudi Arabia, the way they do things in Brazil. No, 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 no. I am filling my church with everything and in every way in order that my church is run the way I would run my church. I am the head. I have people running with me, serving with me. I want my servers to be able to finish my sentences. I want my servants to prioritize the things I prioritize. I want my servants to resolve conflicts the way I resolve conflict. I want my church to be run the way I would run my church. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says, Jesus is filling us in everything and in every way. Is that clear? Think about it and let this sink in you. Imagine if I, as the pastor, would start to do things my way. It starts to think me based on results or lack of results. That's not why the authority was given to me. The authority is given to do what Christ would do. To do things the way he would. And therefore, first he needs to fill me with everything he is and in every way. Therefore, it's so important that I have enlightenment that Paul prayed about it. Not only about the church. Let us talk about family. You can do family the way Canadians do family. You can do family the way governors tell you, no, your kids, they're gonna learn this in school and that's it. You can do this to your kids and this you can do to your kids. This is the law. Blah. You can do like that. Authority. That's the authority they're trying to give you. Or you can do, let Jesus fill you in every way to the point that you know to finish his sentence, to the point that you know what's the purpose, to the point that you are wise to resolve conflicts the way he would, to the point that you would prioritize things he would. And now you fill your home the way he asks you to fill it. Now you govern your home the way he governs you. This protects us. This protects the church. This empowers the church. But first, we need enlightenment and wisdom. And secondly, we truly, honestly need to let Jesus fill us in everything and in every way. In order that we do use our authority the way he wants. The day, Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to go there soon. It's funny, I talk to pastors, and usually it's like this. My church. I pastor my church. My church. Wait a minute. Ephesians chapter 4 says that God gave pastors to the church. In other words, It's not my church. I was given to the church. I am the servant of the church. Every time you see me and Tony, I'll tell, Tony is the big boss. John is the big boss. My members, they are the big boss. Because here, in my mind, must be filled and saturated with this idea. It's not my church. I am the servant. They are the boss. They are the authority. I'm there to do this the way Christ would do. Not the opposite. Not the way Canada. Not the way it's trending. Not the way we do things in the world. Let our minds be saturated by Christ in order that we use our authority the way Christ would. Christ would use. Amen? Amen. That's it for today. Let us stand up for the benediction and let us pray. Lord, we pray for wisdom and understanding to know you better. Wisdom and understanding to know your plans. Wisdom and understanding to know your power and your authority. And Lord, may we use, Lord, the authority you gave us as a church for the church, Lord, not against the church. In Jesus' name. Amen.